So we're getting Ghostbusters Frozen Empire a little after the United States. It's only going to open here on April 11th. I think the movie opened a couple of weeks ago in the US. And I want to start this podcast by saying American critics are talking bullshit. This movie is so much fun.
It's already made $108 million at the box office, so fuck those guys.
I think the people who dislike this movie are the same people who disliked Afterlife.
Okay.
Because it feels like the same criticisms are being leveled against Frozen Empire that were leveled against Afterlife.
Right.
That okay. It was a nostalgia play, that it was too rooted in everything that came before it, that there were too many self-referential jokes. And I don't know about you, but for me, when I go into a Ghostbusters movie, I want to see a Ghostbusters movie. And I think you can define what a Ghostbusters movie is very clearly. And for me, at least, a Ghostbusters movie is, yes, it's a group of people busting ghosts, but it's also family, fun, comedy. It's this blend of all of those things. It is, in my opinion, the perfect four-quadrant film.
I take offense at this self-referential comment, because what is it about Afterlife that they didn't like? They didn't like that Paul Rudd, the teacher in Oklahoma, happens to know who the Ghostbusters are? They're the only fucking ghost-busting thing in the world, right? Like, the fucking Statue of Liberty walked through New York. You think that's not going to make news at some point? My issue with Marvel films is this, that they say they're interconnected, but nobody's referencing things that happened in other films, other than villains crossing over or whatever, right? Nobody's talking about that giant hand in the fucking ocean, and that's my issue. So if they think they don't like the fact that in Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, there's talk about the original Ghostbusters, there's news articles and all that. Did you not watch the original Ghostbusters? Giant marshmallow man. Like, we saw that.
I think the objective of movies like this and the objective of sequels is to build on everything that has come before. I think Afterlife did a very good job of that. I think Frozen Empire continues that tradition, because the chemistry between everyone on screen, from Paul Rudd to Carrie Coon to Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, to the original cast, is fantastic. They all feel at such ease with one another that it's an absolute pleasure and joy to watch. Even Kumail Nanjiani and Patton Oswalt, the two new additions to this group, feel at home. And I think that was my biggest takeaway. As I was watching this movie, no one felt out of place. What Gil Keenan does, and Gil Keenan is the director this time, he wrote Afterlife along with Jason Reitman, but Jason Reitman's handed over directing duties to Gil Keenan on this one. And what he's done really, really well, I think, is build out the Ghostbusters world.
Yes.
I think if you are going to do a franchise, and yes, this is a universe, there's a thing called Ghost Corps that Sony has set up. It's a production company. They want to build out the Ghostbusters universe. There are already a whole bunch of great comic books. I'm sure they want to do animated shows and video games and all of that stuff. But if you want to do that, I think this is a great way of doing it. The Ghostbusters universe is built out. There are new gadgets. There are new toys. But of course, all of that world building doesn't get in the way of the core story, which is still about McKenna Grace and Phoebe. This is still Phoebe's movie, just like Afterlife was. Sure, there are dozens of other characters now, but it all still centers around her journey. And I think the emotional core of the movie is what kept me interested and excited.
There's a moment about halfway through this film where I was concerned that it was going to fall down the emotional dip most movies do, right? There's that moment in the film when, especially if your lead character is a female, she has to go and find herself in some distant place or whatever. I feel like the movie treats that logically, right? The team has been pulled out by the mayor. Phoebe has been sort of sidelined because of literally her age. It makes sense that that's what's happening to her. It makes sense that this is her character arc and her character journey, while the rest have to essentially still keep ghost busting, right? I wanted to go back to what you said earlier about the building out of the universe. And I like that there's an explanation. I like that Ernie Hudson's Winston Zeddemore has sort of like made good, so he's sort of really pumping money into this. And they got kind of new toys. They got an actual Ghost Corps now. Before, it was just the Ghostbusters, the four of them. But I like that this team has built up. I like that there's the Ecto-1, there's the Ecto-Z, there's the Ecto-A, I think. I like that. I like that the world is expanding. The universe is expanding, like you said, and I'm really excited for it.
The story, the narrative, the plot of Ghostbusters was always secondary. I mean, sure, you had Viggo the Carpathian, and you had Gozer the Gozerian, and in this one, you've got Garaka, who is this ancient god who has come back to torment the Earth. Sure, there are all of these villainous ghosts, but the idea of the Ghostbusters was always about these endearingly goofy guys, or in this case, an endearingly goofy family. And for me, it's about building out these characters and this family. And that's what made the movie watchable and fun and funny. And sure, there's a plot involving a god returning to Earth. But honestly, that's secondary. And it all gets wrapped up pretty efficiently. But I think it's the journey in getting there and what happens to these characters afterwards that's important. And I thought that the writing delivers on that really, really well.
What are you coming in here for, right? Are you coming in here for special effects? Are you coming in here for scares? Are you coming in here for creep factor? Or are you coming in here just to hang out with a bunch of really fun guys chasing ghosts and busting ghosts and making them feel good?
There is no doubt that this is a nostalgia play, and it's meant to be. I think when you're rebooting a franchise from the 1980s, you have to lean into that nostalgia because that's what made it fun. That's what made it good.
To try and reboot it by not leaning into those same things is doing it a disservice. Then why bother? Why make a new Ghostbusters where it's serious and dark and broody and emo when you could just make a different movie altogether?
I think a lot of critics need to put on their kids' shoes when they're watching this movie, because I remember watching the 1984 movie again. I often rewatch it because I do love that movie. And I remember how it made me feel as a child. And I remember how goofy it was, how fun it was, how much of a science nerd feel there was. There was something that kind of appealed to every sort of child, irrespective of who you were. If you were like Pete Venkman, the Joker, or Ray Stantz, the guy who was genuinely obsessed with this ghost stuff, or Egon, the big geek. Like, there was something in it for everyone. And this movie does well to tap into the spirit of that. And I think if you are a kid watching this film, you will have those same takeaways. It's a good, old-fashioned family adventure that they don't make anymore because this movie doesn't talk down to you and it doesn't dumb things down. Like, honestly, the family movies we get these days either fall into the stupid cartoon category, and I say stupid cartoon in the sense of, oh, look, it's Migration or the Minions. Mm. It's just cute stuff to keep children occupied for 2 hours. Or the really dumbed down family fare that we sometimes get on Netflix. What I loved about Ghostbusters growing up was that there was a darkness. It was a little naughty if you were a kid watching it. People were saying bad words and maybe you shouldn't be watching it. The ghosts were scary, but not too scary. Just scary enough that like a 7 and 8 year old could take it. You knew you were doing something you maybe shouldn't. Maybe it was a little too grown up for you, but you were getting something great out of it. Like that, all of that feels like it's captured in this. I think if I had a kid who was 7 or 8 years old, they would love this movie.
I think this is an easy movie for a 5, 6, 7 year old, because other than the handful of a-holes that they use throughout the movie, it's not particularly offensive in any shape. And I feel like the original films did that. They were not doing I don't want to say this, but it didn't feel like there was a formula. It didn't feel like executives sat around a room and went, oh, we have to make a 4-quadrant movie. How do we make a 4-quadrant movie? Oh, what do people like? People like comedies and SNL and horror. I feel like this was just that magic in a bottle thing. And if you can just replicate it well, tell extended versions of the stories, long may it continue, because I had a lot of fun in this film.
Just like Afterlife, I think another thing that Frozen Empire does very, very well is its pacing. it doesn't rush the story at all. It doesn't rush the introduction of the villain. There's a very slow burn with regards to the big overarching plot and how it unfurls.
Yep.
And I think that's because the focus is on these characters and their growth.
You know what else I found, now that I'm sitting here talking to you about it, what I found really interesting about this one, other than the big battle at the end, there wasn't any real other battles that we saw.
No, there was one big scene of ghost busting that opened the movie.
Yeah.
And then there was one big ghost busting scene at the end. But here's the other thing. Go back to the original films and it's the same formula.
They didn't feel like they needed to have constant just ghost busting, right? No, this is the beautiful part, right? You was talking about how the movie follows Phoebe, and you're right, because Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard go on ghost-busting adventures. We just don't see it because that's not important. What's important is what Phoebe's going through. And I thought that was brilliant. I loved it. I love that there weren't 15 different ghost-busting. There wasn't a montage of them going, yeah, we're catching all these bad guys. Pew, pew, pew. You know, it was great. I loved it.
In the first movie, they get scared a lot by a variety of ghosts.
Yes.
And then we see some quick cuts in montage when they're first introduced as the Ghostbusters. But besides the hotel ghostbusting where they first run into Slimer,
yep,
and the big sequence at the end, it's not like they're going on multiple visions. In the second one, besides the big scene in the courtroom with the Scoleri brothers, the ones who were given the electric chair, and yet again, another montage sequence, the big thing was fighting Viggo at the end with the Statue of Liberty in the museum.
Yep.
And a lot of it is them doing investigation stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah. You're right.
See, all of its character, you know, like even in this one, there are moments when Phoebe's out and about with podcasts or out and about with a new friend that she's made. It's all about character. It's building story, right? It's building up to a point where that final battle becomes emotional, becomes resonant, becomes important. And it's not just, brah, big thing happened, blah, 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 you know? It earns that last battle, and I love it.
Also, I think Ghostbusters Frozen Empire brings back the legacy cast in a very good way. They are extended cameos. Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson are in it the most. And then Annie Potts. And then Bill Murray just kind of shows up because it feels like he's doing everyone a favor. But he's fun and he's good. He's Bill Murray. However, I like how they don't overplay it. It feels like even the legacy cast are doing it because they love to do it. But at the same time, they know that they're making way for this new generation.
Yeah.
And so they're there to support them and do stuff, but not take over the show. And I think that balance is very important, especially when you're doing a nostalgia play like this one.
Yeah, and it's important that at the end of it, they all sort of come together, right? Because you need backup. You need extra help. So they have to come by and help kick ass. But they don't take an active part in the storytelling, which I appreciate it. Even James Acaster had a lot more screen time compared to Bill Murray in this thing, right? Which, again, works. I was surprised that Celeste O'Connor wasn't in this as much.
Like, if I had one nitpick, I think you could have left out Celeste O'Connor and podcast.
Yes, I agree.
It's interesting that they found a clever way to bring them over from Oklahoma. That's fine.
Yeah.
And it's been 2 years since the last movie, so great. But at the same time, you could have left them out, and I think it would have been fine, and it would have made perfect narrative sense as well.
Yeah.
Both podcast and Celeste O'Connor's Lucky were given very little to do. That said, it didn't feel like they were out of place. They were always in frame. They just weren't doing very much, if that makes sense.
For me, it was just that Celeste O'Connor was such a big part of the previous one as well. Also, can I just say, look, Logan Kim's great actor, funny, not as cute now that he's older. Do you know what I mean? Like,
the short Asian kid thing was really
funny,
worked.
Right? It's like shot round, right? It's funny. Now that he's older, he looks actually good looking and not just cute. It's just not as funny anymore. But I agree with you. I don't think I needed those characters. I think you could have saved that for part 3.
I think the callbacks are there if you know what they are. I don't think they shine a light on every single callback. It's all done in character, in conversation, sometimes even in the background. And for those of you who are fans, you will pick it up and you will notice what's going on and you may have a quiet chuckle. But for the most part, it doesn't actually affect the plot of this movie. And I think that's what is very smart about how both Gil Keenan and Jason Reitman have kind of pulled this off. For me, if you keep making movies like this at this reported budget of $100 million, I think you're good. Like, you don't want to spend too much on films like this. Because at $100 million, you can recuperate that cost. And at $100 million, the visual effects look great. The production value was absolutely fantastic. The movie was shot brilliantly. The opening sequence had a real drive to it. It was all very well made. And so keep making these movies at this budget, and I don't think you will go wrong. And hopefully you will get this fun Ghostbusters franchise slash universe that people will want to dip in and out of every now and again.
Can I just say, controversial, but I think I'm done with the original four. Like, in the next one, I don't think I need them anymore.
No, you're right.
It's the kind of thing where, like, they've saved New York again. They can hire in new people. I think they can open up a new branch in Jersey, Upper East Side or something, right? Like, they can move on. And I feel like I don't need to go back to Dan Aykroyd's little horror shop. Or I don't need to go back and see Bill Murray doing a callback to an experiment that he did in the first movie. I feel like I'm okay. I feel like I'm done. Not in I don't want to see them ever again, but, like, I don't think they need to be a vital part of the story. I feel like after this one, it almost feels like Zedmore can go, like, okay, here's your budget. Here's $100 million operating budget for the Ghost Corps. Go ahead and move on.
For the longest time, it felt like after Ghostbusters 2, because there were so many conversations about a Ghostbusters 3 that never happened, after Ghostbusters 2, it felt like these characters needed a proper send-off. And Afterlife kind of kicked that off. And I think with Frozen Empire, we do get a real send-off because they're back in action again. And so it's nice to see them do their thing one last time. Even though it was a glorified cameo, it was still nice to see them do their thing in New York City one last time. And I think you're right. I think after this, we can move on with the rest of the family and the new Ghostbusters and see where that story goes. I really, really like McKenna Grace. I think she is really good as Phoebe. I think there is a real pathos in everything that she does. And she's just incredibly watchable.
Yes, I agree. I'm trying to figure out how to say this without sounding like a creep. But I love the fact that they didn't sexualize McKenna Grace. Like, I like that she was wearing clothes that was just
like a science nerd would wear.
Like a science nerd would wear. She's wearing overalls. Her hair's undone. She's got, you know, slightly uncool glasses. I love that. I love that.
She's a Spengler, damn it.
She's a Spengler, damn it, right? And I love that they kept that. I love that Finn Wolfhard isn't cleaned up in the second one. For example, like, Celeste O'Connor suddenly got white braids. And I'm like, cool, okay, you like fashion maybe as a character, whatever. But I like that those two are just like, screw it. I just need to put on a t-shirt. I just need pants. Let's move on. I want to just, like, take my cap off to the producers and not sexualizing McKenna Grace. I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
If you did not like the original two Ghostbusters and you didn't like Ghostbusters Afterlife, then okay, then you don't have to watch Frozen Empire. If you didn't like those original ones, fine. If you liked those but didn't like the female reboot, then you will like this.
Even if you've never seen a single Ghostbusters movie, I think this is 2 hours of escapism in the cinema. I think this one is a lot of fun. It's a good old-fashioned adventure flick with plenty of comedy and character that will keep you interested. I think if you are a parent with young kids, this is a fun family time at the cinema. It is wholesome entertainment in the best possible way. Go watch Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. It opens in Malaysian cinemas on April 11th. We think it's pretty good. We think it's a lot of fun. You let us know what you think. Reach out on all of our social media feeds, GogglerMY. You can also email us on podcast@goggler.my or send us a WhatsApp on the Goggler hotline, 012-524-5208. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Goggler Podcast.